The month of June had aged beyond its days. Cancer the Crab had risen to its zenith and had begun to turn toward the lion. Elizabeth had heard of Byron's challenge from Mary. She had watched her friend rise to the task, but she could also see her frustration. First one day, then a sennight passed. Mary reported no particular progress, even though her fingers were now perpetually ink-stained. Over the days, their teas in Lizzie's parlour grew quieter and quieter as Miss Godwin turned inward. She was searching for just the right story, one to make the reader dread to look round, to curdle the blood and quicken the beatings of the heart. However, she soon discovered that the creative process came not when the writer wished or demanded it, but rather when the ideas present in the subconscious would rise to the surface and gain life in the light of her awareness. The thoughts needed to percolate until the brew was potent enough. The two ladies still meandered along the paths bordering the great lake. Arm in arm they would stroll, moving at a faster pace now that Lizzie's strength had returned. They would always revolve around the villa, with the end point invariably to be found at the old stone bench. On one such occasion, after a few minutes of staring out over the waters, Lizzie reached down and grabbed Godwin's hand.
"Mary, your fingers! You will have to scrub them forever to remove all the blacking left over from your nibs. How progresses your story? Darcy and I are anticipating judging the entries."
Mary sadly shook her head. "Oh, Elizabeth, writing fiction is so difficult. My mother simply had to observe the world and put pretty language to her analysis of the men who shaped the events. Me, I am trying to create a domain from the unformed clay. If I were a deity, I would be a poor one, for the darkness still would be on the face of the deep. I have thought and pondered, vainly. I feel that blank incapability of invention that is the greatest misery of authorship. When dull nothing replies to our anxious invocations. Have you thought of a story? I have been asked this each morning, and each morning I have been forced to reply with a mortifying negative." Elizabeth leaned back as she absorbed Mary's lament. In a wry moment, she entertained the idea that writing a story was not that much different from carrying a babe and giving birth. There was a great amount of tedium, followed by considerable pain. That agony vanished into a cloud of joy the moment the child, Story, cleared its lungs with a lusty cry of righteous anger at being so rudely introduced to the world. She turned to her friend.
"Perhaps you are trying too much. You are neither Shelley nor Byron. These are men who have reached the pinnacle of their craft after thousands of hours of writing. Did you not tell me that Byron writes continuously, and that Shelley is rarely without a notebook, into which he pours his poetic sketches as they rise up in his mind? What is your method? You are the daughter of two literary celebrities. Surely you must have tried your hand at their employment when you were a young girl."
Godwin considered this and then responded. "As a child, I scribbled, and my favourite pastime, during the hours given me for recreation, was to write stories. Still, I had a dearer pleasure than this, which was the formation of castles in the air, the indulging in waking dreams, the following up trains of thought, which had for their subject the formation of a succession of imaginary incidents." Elizabeth laughed.
"Well, my dear, that is what you must do. Indulge yourself in waking dreams. There are but 3 days before the reading. You shall need to write quickly. Here is my prescription for you. A table this evening. Avoid all stimulating drinks, be they coffee or wine. After the final remove, I would suggest that you imbibe only some special herbal tea that Sloane will brew for you. Old Mrs. Hill, latterly my mother's housekeeper in Hertfordshire, swore by it. I always pack a supply in case my sleep becomes disturbed, which has certainly been the case in recent weeks."
With this reminder, and with Mary's ready acceptance of Lizzie's directives, the two ladies moved back into the villa to prepare for dinner.